Dave and Buster's is about to introduce gambling, except they say it isn't gambling, but it is. Plus, citizens wishing to spread freedom and liberty aren't too happy this weekend. Tonight is May 5th, 2024, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Hello, everybody. That's right. If you thought I was going to culturally appropriate another country here on stream, no. Have I hated on Halo lately? No, not really. But, you know, that bumper's, you know, from... That intro's, like, literally from, like, 2009. But I do love tacos every day, so we'll do that. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Cinco de Mayo edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on this Cinco de Mayo, something we celebrate way more in America than they do in Mexico, welcome. Thank you so much. I hope you're enjoying your tacos or margaritas or whatever you're doing to celebrate the winning of that particular battle. It's not Mexican Independence Day. And Mike Deft has his carne asada quesadillas ready. Happy Cinco de Mayo to all of you. And Mike Deft says, yes, for real, it's just another holiday. Yes, Cinco de Mayo is not Mexican Independence Day. That's like in September, I want to say. I'm not going to say the exact date because I might have it wrong, but it's in the end of the year. But Mike Deft does have the day off, so congratulations on your day off. I hope it was good. I hope you enjoyed it. I also do want to remind everybody, by the way, that April is Procrastination Awareness Month. So that's a very important month. So I just want to let you know that April is Procrastination Awareness Month. So do with that information what you will. Anyway, we tape this show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. That is where I'm going to be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. But we do have a Discord server throughout the year. VogNetwork.com/Discord is where you can go to chat with us throughout the week. And suggest stories or talk back about previous topics, which we're going to do once again tonight, and basically converse with us. It's a very low traffic server. We don't ping. I can't remember the last time we pinged everybody. We may have never pinged everybody. So don't worry about notifications going off. It's all good. We try to respect you. So you can respect us back. September 16th is the actual Mexican Independence Day, according to Mike Deft, who, by the way, is in Mexico. That's why I keep going back to Mike Deft for that. All right. So let's talk about some previous comments from a previous episode. Going back, let's talk about VR for a little bit. Virtual reality. It's time to take your drink if pod culture's out there. Mame Fan has we've had this like asynchronous conversation, and Mame Fan has been bringing a lot of great receipts and a lot of great information, things that I have not actually been able to do right now. And things that I haven't been able to play around with is specifically the Meta Quest. Like, I'm a big fan of VR. I actually have, you know, multiple VR headsets, but none of them are the Quest. I don't have an Oculus Quest or the Meta Quest 2 or the Meta Quest 3 right now. And so when I'm like, I want to play my PC games and I want to, you know, I'm going to keep my Valve Index for that. But Mame Fan in our chat, who in our Discord server, has been listening to the podcast, and thanks for the mention. You're very welcome. Mame Fan does some YouTube stuff as well, so go look up Mame-Fan to find out more about that. And we were talking about using the wireless link to play PC VR games like a Half-Life Alyx or something that requires a beefier machine on a Meta Quest 3. And he was mentioning at the time about how you need a Wi-Fi 6E router, which is more than a Wi-Fi 5 gigahertz, for Quest 3 Wireless. And I was like, yeah, but not everybody has that. Like, I don't even have a 6E router right now. It's not to say I couldn't get one, but I don't have one right now. And you really need a lot of you really need that to get really good low refresh rates and stuff. And apparently it works great. If you're using virtual desktop with your MetaQuest 3 or 2, I think just 3 is what he's specifically talking about, and you're playing your PC Steam VR games in it, it looks amazing. And so Main Fan says, you do not have to have a 6E Wi-Fi router for PC to Quest 3 Wireless. I also tried 5 gigahertz, and it was fine. Still way better than the Valve Index because of the displays. They have a higher resolution in the Quest 3, which they do, and pancake lenses, which basically means that they're flat. They're not concave or convex. And so there's less glare and more edge-to-edge clarity. What's really important is that the PC is connected via a wire to your router. Headset distance to the router matters as well. So, like, for me personally, my setup, what he's saying is my setup would work because my gaming PC is hardwired, and I would be playing my Quest 3 in this room, in this space. You can also do this with the MetaQuest 2. According to Pod Culture, quality leaves a little bit to be desired. So this also works on the Quest 2 that a lot of people have right now. Some, and my Main Fan does continue, some people say that link cables work well for them because that is how you can hardwire your Quest to your PC to get all of this. But Main Fan actually can't get the official one to work well. Audio is always garbled. So I use the virtual desktop wireless instead. Also tried AirLink and Steam Link, two other ways of doing wireless VR, and neither was as good as virtual desktop for me. So the thing about the audio garbling, probably what's happening here is that USB, you really need... So how USB works in a computer is that you'll have multiple USB hubs, and the hubs can only transmit so much data. And when I say a hub, maybe like 4 of your USB ports may be on a single hub, or an 8 would be on another on the single hub. So if you have a lot going on through that hub, you're going to get dropped packets, and that'll cause audio garbling. On my last computer before this one, my webcam was pulling so much USB data, it was freezing. Because it was overloading the USB hub I had it plugged into. So things like that will happen, and usually what they say is, oh, just get another USB, a PCIe card that has more USB ports, and that's a new USB hub, and you can basically start over fresh. And so that's probably what's happening with the AirLink, or with not the AirLink, but the actual official link cable, is that there's other USB things going on, other things plugged into USB, that is probably making the signal not as strong because the hub is only has so much throughput. So that's what's going on there. So virtual desktop, which actually is a fantastic program. I've had virtual desktop on just like the plain. I don't know if it's a different virtual desktop, but I've had virtual desktop forever on my Steam account. Usually a lot of people used it to, you know, share their screen and work in virtual reality because it brought your desktop into a 3D space. You could also watch YouTube in a 3D space, things like that. But you're also able to do it. You use it to play a lot of these VR games. All right. So thank you so much for that. There's also some other resources he's put in the Bobby Blackwell Show chat channel over on vognetwork.com/discord about the MetaQuest sizes, lens sizes, resolution, things like that. A lot of great information. He knows a lot of that a lot more than I do, just because I have not gone into the Quest line of anything. So I still use my Valve Index. I've got a PlayStation VR 2. And that's really where this started, is because I want the PlayStation VR 2, which is the best headset I currently own, to work with PC. And that's something that Sony is investigating. And they're going to need some goodwill after some of the stuff that we talk about later tonight. But before we get to that story, Dave & Buster's. Now, I have 2 Dave & Buster's near me. And they're actually, I think 3. Do I have 3 now? I think I have 3 now. There's like, or and then there's one like on the south side. I don't know. But Dave and Buster's, it was the only surviving arcade out of the 90s, because it really catered to like ticket redemption and, you know, and restaurant and all that stuff. And there are other companies that have taken that model, you know, like Main Event is one that we have here that also has that. But it's a lot of ticket spitter games. And it survived the arcade destruction of the 90s. When arcades went away, Dave and Buster's stuck around. And so they are going to be adding something new. And it's kind of interesting, when I was like preparing for this, I was like, you know, this is one of the topics, and I'm actually not going to put the G word anywhere. Like if you're watching on Twitch, you notice I don't mention the G word here. I mean, I can say it, it's gambling, but like, I'm like not putting it in any of the social media stuff, because I don't want to get moderated people thinking I'm a gambling thing. E3VLS says, it's a step up from Chuck E. Cheese. Yes, like it is Chuck E. Cheese for older kids with better food. And you know, it's got event spaces and other things. You know, some Dave and Buster's have bowling alleys in them and other things going on than just the arcade. And they've got like a VR roller coaster experience and stuff. And like back in the 90s, that's when I first had VR. My first experience with VR was Dactyl Nightmare, and it was at my local Dave and Buster's. That's where the BattleTech pods were, which are now, you know, kind of touring the country. People have renovated them and started touring like conventions and stuff with those. So Dave and Buster's is like, well, what do we do now? I know. I'm going to take this bar space where people come to watch sports ball, and there's a big trend in sports ball that I can bring to my games. Kotaku reports that starting later this year, popular family entertainment restaurant chain Dave & Buster's will offer its customers who are 18 years or older the ability to place friendly wagers on various games using the company's app. Essentially, on April 30th, as reported by NBC, Dave & Buster's announced its plans to soon start offering its 5 million loyalty members an option to place bets on its various games using the company's app. The entertainment chain, with over 200 locations in North America, will add the wager functionality to its loyalty app in the next few months. It's partnering with Lucra, L-U-C-R-A, Lucra, a gambling software company, to power its new friendly wager system. The idea is that while you are at Dave & Buster's, you and your friends can place bets on how well you'll do at a different game. The app will manage all of these bets and payouts. Now, if I bet $5 on my friend failing at an arcade game, most people would call that gambling. However, Lucra's chief operating officer disagrees. According to NBC, Lucra says skill-based games are not subject to the same rules and regulations as slot machines or other types of gambling. The company is careful to not use specific terms like bet or wager when talking about its software and how it will work with places like Dave & Buster's. They say, quote, real money contests or challenges, unquote. E3VL says fantasy football. And yes, that's where like we start seeing all these money lines and fantasy football stats. And I could talk a lot more about that and how I feel about that. I worked for an NFL team as game day entertainment for 8 years. And these things that I saw in the tunnel with people getting upset at specific athletes just because of fantasy football made me really get turned off to that concept. And so this, they say it's not gambling. And I'd love to find out how it's not gambling. Because poker has skill involved. It's not just luck-based. There is skill in poker, but it's considered gambling. And in my state, Georgia, the only form of gambling that is legal is the state-funded lottery. We do not have sports betting, which is why it's great that I can't turn off the money lines in certain apps, because like I can't use them. We don't have casinos here, even on a reservation. We have to go to a neighboring state if we actually want to go to a casino. and we can't, like, DraftKings doesn't work for us and things like that. I don't know how this is going to work in a place like that, because I guarantee you they can say all they want, this is not gambling because it's a skill-based game, but it's gambling. And so we're going to start seeing probably the government get involved to put a stop to this, at least in states where it's not legal. In states where it's legal, sure. Yeah, I'm not sure how this is gonna pan out. Sharon and Matt says, yes, this is looking for trouble for no reason. I mean, at least let's look on the bright side. At least it's not using the blockchain and it's not a large language model. So this is something else that's bad. And, you know, in Dave & Buster's, I guess they're trying to skirt it and trying to see how far they can push it, because Dave & Buster's is somewhat has a little bit of that luck and gambling thing, because that's what a ticket spitter is. You put in money for some of these and there's no skill involved. It's luck on how many tickets you get. And then you can take that ticket to get something, some overpriced stuffed bear or something. And that is also a form of gambling, but since no currency is being traded, you cannot get U.S. dollars back. It is not considered gambling under the law. However, this, you would get U.S. dollars back, unless they're going to sit there and say, oh, your winnings are converted into tokens, and then you can play more games. That actually, now that I think about it, that may be the way they go. You can bet $5. And if you win, you get $5 in game tokens on your card. You do not actually get $5 back. That may be where they're going with it. E3BL says the light game requires skill. Some of them do. Like, some of them do, because I've seen them. And then there are some that don't, that are just like you put it in, you watch the coin, you know, the coins go around or whatever. And, you know, Dark Tetsuya says some of the machines are super rigged. And so I think what's going to come out is that, you pay $5 and you can win $5 to $10 worth of, game credits that you cannot exchange back for that. That's the only way I think this can legally work, is that you're wagering and instead you could either spend that $5 playing games, or you could get $10 to play games and stuff like that. And I hesitate to put the G word anywhere around this, because I don't want it written down, because I don't want to get flagged. Your podcast is illegal in, you know, X amount of states, like Georgia. E3VL says claw machine has payout rates. Yeah. The only claw machines I play are in the Like a Dragon series and Persona. There's a claw machine in Persona 3. But you don't actually operate the claw machine in Persona 3, and you can only do it once a night. Anyway. Dave & Buster's is doing that. It also involves getting on their app so they get your information and things. So it's not just your card anymore. So let's talk about the big story. This is the big story that has been happening all week, weekend, because this happened Friday. So it's been a very eventful 3 days, because I'm pretty sure this came out on Friday. But I have not talked much about Helldivers 2. I think it was a surprise hit. Helldivers 1 didn't do all that much. It was also a very different type of game. Helldivers 2 is a co-op first-person shooter where you're fighting bugs and, you know, spreading liberty and freedom. It's very much got that Starship Troopers vibe, including in its commentary on world issues, and a lot of people don't see it because it's just, you know, we're going to go have fun and shoot some alien bugs. But it's gone gangbusters. And what they had to do in the first 36 hours was they had to, on PC, because the servers were getting overloaded, they had to drop the requirement that you needed a PlayStation Network account. Because while Arrowhead, I believe is the name of the developer, developed it. They don't own Helldivers. Sony owns Helldivers, the IP. Sony purchased it, and they own it. And so they are the publisher. And the publisher came in like a wrecking ball after 6 months of so much goodwill and so many memes and so many people having so much fun with the game. And they turned the PC ecosystem on its head, its arrowhead, shall we say. So they actually put out a thing on Steam saying, attention Helldivers, due to technical issues at the launch of Helldivers 2, we allowed the linking requirements for Steam accounts to a PlayStation Network account to be temporarily optional. That grace period will now expire. Account linking plays a critical role in protecting our players and upholding the value of safety and security provided on PlayStation and PlayStation Studios games. This was our main way to protect players from griefing and abuse by enabling the banning of players that engage in that type of behavior. It also allows players that have been banned the right to appeal. As such, as of May 6th, which is tomorrow, the Revenge of the 6th, if you will, after Cinco de Mayo, all new Helldivers 2 players on Steam will be required to connect their Steam account to a PlayStation Network account. Current players on Steam will start to see the mandatory login from May 30th and will be required to have a linked Steam and PlayStation Network account by June 4th. PlayStation Network accounts are free and easy to set up. Maybe. We understand that while this may be an inconvenience to some of you, this step will help us continue to build a community that you are all proud to be a part of. E3VL says, I don't see the big deal. Fortnite requires Epic account. Blizzard games require a Battle.net account. Correct. You are correct. And this is also not the first time this has happened after a game has come out. The issue winds up being the fact that you can't get a PlayStation account everywhere. Legally or without breaking the terms of service. Now, like I said, this is not the first game that has required a console maker's account after it has been launched. I can name of two off the top of my head. Minecraft. You didn't need a Microsoft account when Minecraft came out, but now you do. And so now you log in with a Microsoft account, even if you're playing it on Switch. Another one had an Epic Games account added to it, and I think several games that have been purchased by Epic had this. But I'm thinking specifically of Fall Guys. When Fall Guys came out, it was I remember playing it on my PlayStation because it was a PlayStation Plus title. And so I played it, and it was great. And then I got, like, a later version, like, later, and it's like, oh, you have to connect your Epic Games Store account to your PlayStation Network account now to play this, or you can't play it even on your PlayStation. So I was trying to play it on PlayStation, and they're like, no, you need an Epic Games account. So this is not the first time it's happened. And frankly, it's a small price to pay, in my opinion, to dispense freedom and liberty to the cosmos. However, it actually is, there are legal issues in many parts of the world. So PC Gamer reports that Helldivers 2 developer Arrowhead Studios continues to wrestle with the fallout of an unexpected and unpopular announcement. Soon all Helldivers 2 Steam players will be required to link a PlayStation account to continue playing. Video games requiring outside access linking is nothing new, but many Helldivers 2 players are protesting this mandate, arriving months after the game's release and with an insufficient warning that it was coming. Fans are also calling foul on Sony's reasoning for requiring PSN integration, citing security and player protection as things that are only possible when you're signed into PSN. That I scratched my head out because, like, are you saying that you can't ban a Steam account? Like, are you saying that VAC bans aren't a thing? Because I think Counter-Strike players would disagree with you that you can't ban a player. It's totally possible. It's absolutely possible. Valve does it. Ask Valve. See, ask Gabe Newell. Gabe, how do you protect your community on a game that's on Steam with a Steam account? And Gabe will be like, here, let me get you in touch with the people that do it, and we'll help. On the day this happened, Helldivers 2 accrued over 20,000 negative Steam reviews. It was, like, overwhelmingly positive. Everyone was like, this is the best game that's come out all year. Everything is great. You know, we're dispensing freedom and liberty. and everything is amazing. It dropped the co-op the top-selling co-op shooter to a mixed recent review rating. Now I think it's like overwhelmingly negative. So unfortunately, they Arrowhead didn't respond well initially. Arrowhead community managers were fielding complaints on their Discord server, acknowledging players who feel their trust has been breached and assuring them that Sony is receiving the feedback. Only in the last few hours has Arrowhead CEO Johan Pilestat, which I have probably not pronouncing that correctly. I apologize to anybody from Europe who knows how that's supposed to be pronounced. I'm going to screw it up the whole night. Who has been a core presence and personality in the Helldivers 2 community from the start, opened up about the announcement. He said, quote, "I understand that linking accounts and signing up for additional services may not be something that some users would like to do, and that needs to be respected. While the Steam page has always shown the requirements on the game page, I wish we had been more clear with the long-term intent and to not disappoint any of the divers out there," unquote. So they did have, like, it was required in this was in the yellow box. A PSN account was required. But it was waived because nobody could log in. Because Helldivers 2 did amazing and they had to turn it off. They never actually said it was temporarily optional. They just turned it off. So the CEO wrote after the review bombing, quote, "Ouch," right in the review score. "I guess it's warranted. Sorry, everyone, for how all this transpired. I hope we will make it up again and regain the trust by providing a continued great game experience. I just want to make great games," unquote. So, yeah, because apparently some of the Arrowhead staffers, they were not as nice in the beginning because they're like, it's just a PSN account. It takes 5 seconds. Like, make one. But there are a lot more gamers in the world than places where PlayStation Network is available. In fact, 177 countries. So Mike, SJR and Matt says, they always did say that waiving the PSN requirement was temporary, though I totally agree to the folks who asked for and got refunds. Not cool being able to buy the game and suddenly later I can't own the game I bought anymore. So they are giving refunds to people. But only, really, if you live in one of these 177 countries where the game was delisted. Because PlayStation Network is only available in, I think 60-something countries, officially. IGN reports that as Helldivers 2's reviews continue to collapse on Steam, Arrowhead's best-selling action game has been pulled from around 177 countries in the wake of the new PSN account linking requirement that has turned its fan base upside down. Egypt, Georgia, the country, not where I live, Jamaica, and Morocco are some of the notable countries where Helldivers 2 can no longer be purchased due to PSN not being available, sparking confusion among fans. Japan is also among the countries listed, but according to SteamDB, it has a separate package and is still available, though users cannot buy the global version. In the meantime, Helldivers 2 recent reviews on Steam are now overwhelmingly negative, which is where they are right now. Overall, they're mixed. Amid continued review bombing by fans. Up until Friday, Helldivers 2 was a notable win for Sony, earning Game of the Year notice for its excellent community engagement. It's been one of the best-selling games of 2024 up to this point, with an estimated 8 million copies sold as of March of 2024. Now its future may be in doubt as fans abruptly turn on the sensationally popular game. So amid the anger, the CEO, whose name I'm not going to try to repronounce, said that Arrowhead is working on a solution, but that the studio does not have the final say. Quote, "Is this the moment to tweet, what, you guys don't have phones?" I get it. "On a serious note, we are talking solutions with PlayStation, especially for non-PSN countries. Your voice has been heard, and I am doing everything I can to speak for the community, but I do not have the final say," unquote. Remember, Arrowhead does not own Helldivers. Sony owns Helldivers. Arrowhead merely made Helldivers. They only developed it. The Arrowhead CEO has been morose and even a little bit poetic since the controversy began, said, quote, "Waking up to the sunshine of yesterday replaced with the dreary drizzle and shivering winds makes me reflect on how I spent my time those rare few moments when all was perfect," unquote. And then he continued, quote, Yet rain is essential to growth and is what changes spring into summer. I will just have to wait for sunshine to return, unquote. ZenMonkey11 says, I have never heard of this game. I want to try it now. It's apparently really good. Like, I don't play first-person shooters, so it's not a game for me. But it is basically, it's a co-op shooter where you are being dropped down and you're shooting bugs, alien bugs. It's very Starship Trooper-esque. It's got a lot of great quotable lines. You know, the music, the theme song at least is catchy. I've heard a couple remixes of it on Spotify. So, you know, and it's got a lot of great memes about dispensing liberty, T-E-A, and freedom, and all that stuff. Questbuster says, for the most part, PSN doesn't believe people live in Africa. Mike Def does say, people are saying if you keep trying, regardless of reason, you can get a refund for the game. Yes, because what some people are saying is that the terms of use changed after they bought it, and that is a valid reason. And sometimes you may have to request a refund 7 or 8 times, even if you are in one of the countries where you can have a PSN account. It eventually, once you get to a human, Valve will honor the refund, but a lot of times they're using computer bots. I'm not going to really say AI, but they're using, you know, a computer algorithm to reject a lot of times the first time through. Michigan says, LOL, Bobby, you said PSN and the app open on my phone. First time that's ever happened, especially since the VA function is disabled. Oh, maybe not. Perhaps a coincidence. I am in your phone. Esther and Matt says, if I don't play Helldivers 2, does it mean I don't like freedom? You do not like spreading freedom. You do not like distributing freedom to everywhere where freedom should ring. That's what it means. S. Jared Matt says, keep complaining. Eventually a manager will see you. Yes. So now, officially, if you live in a country that does not have PlayStation Network, which, by the way, more countries have PlayStation Network than have Xbox Game Pass, like can have a Microsoft account, and I believe even more countries than can have a Nintendo account. Some of Sony's help desk people have said, just create an account in the nearest territory. Now, that is, to the letter of the law, against their terms of service, to create an account in a country where you do not reside. However, except for mainland China, Sony tends to turn a blind eye. But they can't say that out loud. But they are quietly trying to let people know, just like if you are in a country that doesn't have PSN, just make one in a neighboring country or something that maybe has the same currency as you. That's kind of the underhanded thing. But you run the risk of your account getting banned because you are misrepresenting where you are from. They only really do that in mainland China. That is apparently the only place Sony is actually punished people for creating an account outside of their region, but everywhere else in the world is fine until it's not. It's one of those things like they're not going to do anything to you until they do, and they have every right to do that. Mike Deft says also getting banned and losing access to the game altogether. So yeah, damned if you do, damned if you don't. So I also do realize that Sony is trying to pump up the numbers of how many people have PlayStation Network. And this is like their best-selling game on PC. And this would pump up those numbers. And they've got quarterly reports coming up soon. And they want to say, hey, PSN grew by this many millions of people. And if they can get the majority of those 5 million copies or whatever I read earlier that bought Helldivers 2 to make PSN accounts, that looks great for the investors. And that's really what's driving this. It's they can sit there and say, oh, it's about the security and it's about that. No, it's about they want to show a number going up on a PowerPoint when they talked about their quarterly financials, because Sony is a publicly traded company and they have to answer to shareholders both in America and in Japan. And this would be a great win for them. And here's the thing that they're probably looking at, and this is going to be a really terrible way of looking at it. But like they said, 5 million copies sold. There have been 285,000 negative reviews out of 5 million. If they can convert 1 million of those 5 million to getting a PSN account, they'll take those 285,000 people who are leaving negative reviews and say, yeah, that's fine, because they still gained a million PSN accounts. That's really why they're doing it. It's not for safety or security or anything like that, because you absolutely can do that with just a Steam account, because you need a Steam account to play the game on PC. And not even all of Sony's games require a PlayStation Network account to play. However, they're the single-player ones. So the games that are single-player that Sony is bringing to the PC, you don't need a PlayStation Network account. But they're saying that they're multiplayer ones, you are going to need it, and they just didn't enforce it for the first 6 months, and that's why we're in the situation we are in right now. Questbuster says, Helldivers 2 is apparently Sony's seventh highest-grossing game in their history, beating out games like The Last of Us in no small part thanks to the PC audience. And Sturlock did say Sony did get caught updating their website retroactively. Yes, and that's what some people are using, because Sony had a kind of like it wasn't a terms of use. It wasn't the big legal document nobody reads. It was a, you know, FAQ type of thing with a bulleted list. And they actually updated the wording this weekend to make it so they would need this PlayStation Network account for this and try to say, oh, no, we were always at war with East Asia. And it's a 1984 reference, George Orwell. People are using that saying, see, Sony changed the terms, give me my refund. And that is what is helping Valve give those refunds back. Now, Valve does give the refund in your Steam wallet, so like a Dave and Buster's gambling, it probably doesn't go back in as cold hard cash, but you can buy a different game with it. And spend your money wisely on something that doesn't need a third-party account. This sucks for people. Like for me, is living in America who already has a PSN account, it would be like, okay, whatever, you know, that's what I said when I saw, okay, Fall Guys needs my Epic account. I've got an Epic account. Let me just link them. It's fine. But for a lot of people who don't, who maybe are not in a fortunate position, the reason they have a PC is because they spend their money, their budget on a PC. They can't afford a PS5 or an Xbox. This is a hurdle for them. And I believe I also heard in some places, I think like in the Ukraine, for instance, you actually cannot sign up for a PlayStation Network account on a computer. You have to sign up with a PlayStation console. You can using a PlayStation console. And if you don't have a PlayStation console, you can't sign up for a PlayStation Network account. Mike Def says, the game doesn't even have cross-save or progression. Questbuster says, after Destiny 2 turning in less than exciting news for the past year, Helldivers 2 must look like a shot in the arm that Sony's online ambitions wanted to create when they bought Bungie. And Sony is tanking them. So, not very much not the first game that has required an external account. It's just the way that this has happened, the confluence of errors between Sony and Valve and Steam and stuff like that has made it something that that just really sucks. Because like you needed if you play a Ubisoft game, they're like, you got to link your Ubisoft account right now. You can't play Assassin's Creed on PC without linking this account. EA games, some EA games, you need to get that EA Play account to be able to play it on Steam. And they're very upfront. It's there from the beginning. And if you don't see the little yellow box, you buy it, you play it. You're usually within under the 2 hours because you can't start the game. So you can get a refund very easily for those. This one, it's 6 months later. Sturlock says, I wonder how many devs are having second thoughts about possible contracts with Sony in the future. So here's the thing, is that this was the plan all in the beginning was to always require a PlayStation Network account. That was the plan. It went south because the login servers got overloaded. And so they took away the PSN account requirement. Had they kept the PSN account requirement from the beginning, they would have probably sold less copies, but they wouldn't have destroyed this goodwill. They would not have had this PR nightmare. And I think that's really important to look at, is that Arrowhead knew this was going to, that it was going to require a PSN account on PC from day one. They had to pivot for technical reasons. They have fixed those technical reasons, and so they're now they're going back to the original agreement. Sucks for those who wanted to dispense more freedom and liberty and do not have a PlayStation account and do not desire a PlayStation account, because this sucks. We're going to take a quick music break and then talk to Rob about whatever's going on over there. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show and the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Hey, it's your friendly neighborhood Mexican, Act Deaf, and you're participating in the Bobby Blackwell Show. Whether he's right or wrong, his opinion is always something worth listening to. Except for the music critics. Those sometimes suck.
I play in the music break. I play something that sounds like, you know, something you'd hear on Cinco de Mayo from Mike Deft's favorite game, and then I get that bumper. Mike Deft, why do you hate my music break so much? Anyway, welcome back to the Bobby Blackwell Show. If you want to leave a bumper, all you got to do is send me an MP3 of just your voice or a video of just you speaking, and I will choose what DMCA violation to put behind it. Maybe you can return us back to the show here at the Bobby Blackwell Show. Let's see here. I'm going to check just in case because I missed this the first previously. Let me check. 1, 2, 3. Okay. So sometimes like you'll see like on the left side there, like it's like, oh, I'm taking calls and like I need to check the green room because sometimes people are in there. How you would do that in our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. We have a green room voice chat channel. If you sit in there, I actually know you're waiting and I can pull you in. But we really haven't had that much time to do that because honestly, I can never predict when somebody wants to be in the room. So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them to see what's going on in their neck of the woods. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, Bobby. Hi.
How are you doing this weekend?
I'm hanging in there. Yeah, good weekend. Trying to get a lot of steps in.
That's
you know,
good.
Pikmin.
Yeah,
playing cards. Important.
Yeah. We finally were able to get out in the rain yesterday and kind of help with that. You know.
Good.
See, yes.
Have you been enjoying Pikmin Bloom? Almost. Gosh, where are we at? Probably about 9 months in from when I got you hooked.
Yeah, it was Dragon Con. It was first day of Dragon Con. Yeah. It has helped me get out and walk more.
Yeah,
and it does make it like, okay, it's kind of cool to go around and see, okay, what postcards are around, because I don't play Pokemon Go anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I don't, you know, I don't see where the Pokestops are and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's very much more, you know, passive. Like I go to a soccer match, football match for the rest of you in the world.
Football.
And, I can just say, okay, I'm going to turn on the flower planting. And that's when we walk from the train station into the stadium, around the stadium and stuff. And you know, and there will all usually be like three or four other people at the match that are also playing because we all jump on the mushrooms and everything. Like the other, you know, because there's like 43,000 people in the stadium. And, hey, five of us are playing Pikmin Bloom. That's kind of fun. And that's neat. So it's gotten me to go get out more, and it's like maybe I do want to walk around and like see what's going on. And like I said, I find it's because it's more passive than Pokemon Go, and it's even more passive than, like, I know you've talked about the Monster Hunter Go and stuff like that. Pikmin Bloom just seems like a more passive experience. That being said, I've run out of Pikmin to get. And that's been a while, like not storage space, but it's like I've gotten all the Pikmin types that are around my little area of suburbia. There's no more to get except for like the rare ones, which never come up, like the rare park ones. And so like wind up throwing them away when I don't get the rare park type. So in Pikmin, for people who've never played Pikmin Bloom, you grow a Pikmin, you go out, you will come across little Pikmin seedlings. You'll use Pikmin to go get those seedlings, then you'll grow them, which is by your steps, and then as you feed them more and send them on battles or on expeditions to go get more seedlings or fruits or whatever, once they get big enough, they go back and put on whatever decoration they're going to put on. And there are many different types, and they're always adding more. There's special ones, but then they're like, oh, we just added ramen places. So now if OpenStreetMap or whatever they use says this is a ramen place, you could get a ramen type from that. But I've gotten all the types that are around me. And the park ones are annoying because they also have a rare version, and you never know which one you're going to get. And so you grow it, and it's like, oh, it's another regular clover. I wanted the four-leaf clover. And so it's kind of getting to that point where I'm not seeing as much new stuff, but I'm still using it as an excuse to go plant flowers around my park and everything. And we're also not the only people at our park that play. I've never met the others, but I always see that there's flowers in the park and the bloomed and everything. So
it's funny. I finally met the other person playing Pikmin Bloom, or one of the other people playing Pikmin Bloom around here, who's always on a mushroom that's nearby. And I found out she's always on it because she works there, because I met her at a Pokemon raid.
Okay.
And when she saw me in the lobby, she's like, oh, that's you. I've been wanting to meet you because of Pikmin.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny. So it's interesting how it crossed over. But yeah, I definitely agree with everything you said about the passiveness, I think, is what makes Pikmin a strong game and very different. You know, people are always very quick to label Niantic games the next Pokemon Go, even though, you know, there's a lot of nuances that make them very different. And the people assume, oh, Pikmin, because of the things they collect and stuff. Oh, it's just like Pokemon Go. No, actually, it's nothing like Pokemon Go. Like, it's a completely different, like, way that it plays, and it's much more passive, and I think is a lot, it's a lot different. And yeah, if you need motivation for walking, I think it's great.
Yeah.
They've been trying to infill some stuff. Like, I think the latest thing they added was a curry thing for Indian restaurants.
Yeah,
which I don't know how plentiful those are down there, but like every other strip mall here has them, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, we have them, but it's whatever service they're using doesn't list them.
Yeah, it would be interesting if there was a little more transparency on how they're pulling the data from OpenStreetMaps, or assumably what it is. But I also understand they don't want people manipulating the data, which we'll talk a little bit about on OLR tonight, how OpenStreetMap is actually currently being manipulated by Pokemon Go players because of a somewhat new mechanism they're using to spawn certain new Pokemon in only certain types of areas. And it's causing a little kerfuffle between people who want to get their Pokemon and would like OpenStreetMap's data to be accurate.
Yep. Yeah, and I think all the Niantic, I think it is OpenStreetMap is what Pikmin runs off of as well, because I think that's what they've said.
Which is funny because, you know, their history is that they started as a Google subsidiary. Yeah. So in the beginning, Ingress was almost certainly using Google Maps as a back end. And so probably around the time they converted from the original Ingress client to Ingress Prime, they probably switched to OpenStreetMaps, much like Pokemon Go uses. Because of that was about the time they were separating from Google. So interesting.
I mean, hey, separating from Google is way better than getting killed by Google.
That's true. That is true. It's but Niantic has taken that legacy and made it their own.
Yes.
You know, hello to Settlers of Catan. Hello to whatever Marvel game they showed one trailer for and they immediately killed. So it's hello to NBA All World, which was a terrible idea from the start. And to be clear, I'm not opposed to an NBA game. I actually tried it and played it and was hoping it'd be fun. It was not. It just, you want to talk about passive and you know, the opposite of that. NBA All World wanted you to go to these locations, mostly basketball courts, of course, but it would have a random algorithm that would spawn them in other places if there were no basketball courts around, and play a very shoddy, I'm using a G-rated word, one versus one or one, you know, player basketball game that was nothing like, you know, playing a NBA game on a PlayStation or NBA Jam or something cool. So it was a flawed idea from the start, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I will say, for a time, somebody in our neighborhood also was playing Pikmin Bloom, because we saw them hopping on the mushrooms around us. The thing about that also is, if you don't set privacy stuff, we knew exactly what house they lived in because they had flowers planted.
Yeah.
And then, but also I know now they've stopped playing because that stopped happening, and we no longer see them on the mushrooms. So there was like the flavor of the month for them, and then they moved on.
Luckily, like, so I definitely have my privacy settings on, because what you can do, you can draw a circle. Mm-hmm. You don't have to even put the circle on your house. You can put the circle near your house so that your house is in the circle, but it still, like, throws people off. So, like, mine is actually at the intersection near the house, but it includes the house. So it's that type of thing. So, yeah, you can do a privacy thing there, but so that people can't see the flowers you're planting to deduce where you live, like Bobby just said. But Alan doesn't always turn his on, but we have just enough GPS drift that it looks like it could be like one of like six different houses. So at least there's that. Yeah.
So what else are you going to be talking about tonight? Are you going to be talking about freedom and liberty and accounts and everything?
I think we might have to. This has been a pretty big story this week for sure, which is, I'd love to get around to actually playing some Helldivers. I've heard good things about it, but you know how it goes. You know how it goes. Mm-hmm. I never do seem to get around to it. But we will talk about this controversy with limited run games and the fact that apparently they're just pressing games on burned CDs, which, you know, instead of the factory level CD pressing, which is very interesting. We'll talk a little bit about that. Xbox had a series of independent developer announcements this week, ID at Xbox. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. And soon you'll be able to join PlayStation 5 matches, I guess, such as Helldivers, if you'd like, via a text message.
Okay.
Fun.
Awesome. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly, or you can join us on our Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord. I am on social media at Bobby Blackwolf, most places at BobbyBlackwolf.com, where the skies are blue. And that's where you can find me there, but or also on our Discord server. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone the show is not for everybody, but we would not be able to make this live show work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. So thank you so much. I'm going to pull up a better version of this so I can read it a little bit better. A different site. I didn't have this up initially. Here we go. So thank you so much to Fifth Dream for resubscribing, saying, what year is it? It's 2019. Wouldn't that be nice? We have Tiger Claw resubscribed. Thank you so much. And SSJ100Matt resubscribed. Thank you so much for that, helping us going above and beyond. Really, you just being here is all we ask. That is amazing enough for me. But thank you so much for those who go a little bit above and beyond. So I'm going to go ahead and hit the button to have the music play me out. There it is. So have a wonderful rest of your week. And if you're playing Helldivers 2, spread some freedom and liberty. I'll see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.